people in marketing and they use Jesus to sell a product. Merchandise. What merch? You know, have you got any merch? Some Christian merch. Temu, they sell a lot of Christian merch. And they're not really Christian, I don't think. It comes from China. But then business leaders use Jesus to get a blessing on their business. And people often use Jesus for the wrong reasons or selfish reasons. And we ask that question, what can Jesus do for me? And as if he's a vending machine or like, you know, come on, Jesus, a giant genie. Come on, let me rub you and see what you're going to do. My wish or your wish is his command and he can just fulfill those. But God's not your genie. He might look like, you know, but he's not. He's Lord God Almighty. He's large and he's in charge. And his purposes will stand. So the wise men, they came for the right reasons. They came to worship Jesus. They didn't come to get something from him, but they came to show gratitude, to show love, to show honor, to show respect. And they gave Jesus the best they had. They didn't give him leftovers. They didn't give him lip service. They didn't give him a gift card. They thought, what can we give Jesus? And so the three presents that they brought had a very important significance. Gold is a gift that you give to your wife. No, kings. Kings. But gold is a gift you give to kings. In days of old, the tribute was paid by praying or bringing a tribute of gold to the king. Most precious metal. And so they were presenting a gift fit for a king. And then frankincense was a kind of incense used to worship God in the temple. So what they're saying is, he's worthy to be worshipped. And then myrrh, that's an unusual one. We don't really, I don't know many of you sprinkle myrrh on you, but hopefully not. But it was a spice to embalm the dead. And that's an unusual gift for a baby. And so the spice was put on a dead body before wrapping it in linens. And it was taken from a camphora tree. It's a tree where they pierce it and the sap runs down from the tree and it forms what they call a tear. And you might see a picture of that on the screen. And it turns a dark red color as it contacts the air. And so one of the other properties in addition to embalming the dead is a healing property or antiseptic. And Isaiah prophetically foretold Jesus' suffering on the cross of Calvary, but also spoke of him as a healer. And this is from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, written 600 or more years before Jesus was born. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. So the wise men, by their gifts, acknowledge Jesus is incarnate. He is God incarnate. He is the King. He is going to do good works, but he's going to also die. He's the Savior of the world, and he's going to die for our sins. And before Jesus said his first word, it was known that this is the Savior who will die for the sins of the world. So the second thing to this morning about those wise men, they didn't stop. Although they came a very, very, very long way, they didn't stop until they met Jesus. They didn't stop. They pushed through finally to come to the place where Jesus was. Friends, have you done that? Have you come to the point in your life where you've met Jesus? Personally, not just about him. You might know where he is. Okay, maybe he's at that address. But have you ever come to his door and been into, because he's waiting for you? And if you haven't and you're still on the journey, he wants to meet you face to face. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop going. A lot of people start the important question of life or important questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And more importantly, where am I right now? Where do I find myself emotionally, spiritually, even physically? But does my life have meaning? Is there purpose? Is there significance? Do I matter? And if I matter, who to whom do I matter? These are important questions. And I think it's important to just pause and reflect. And what is the significance of it all? But if you don't keep seeking the answers, pretty soon you get distracted. Christmas is a lot of distractions, a lot of consumerism of this and that and all the trimmings. You basically find it hard to find the nativity scene anywhere. It's really difficult to find the real story. It's because it's his story. That's what history is. It's his story. And the stable door is the hinge on which history turns. It's all about him. It's his story. And so we might spend the rest of our lives missing the very purpose for which we created. But like the wise men, don't stop until you meet Jesus. Don't stop seeking until you meet Jesus. You and I know this worldly, weary world battles to rejoice. The thrill of hope, where is it? It's in Jesus. As humanity, we see wars. I think I was shocked the other day how many wars and how many countries they advise British citizens not to travel to and how many advisories there are to other countries where they're localized wars. It's shocking. It's like 60 or more countries. It's like a quarter of the world's countries are unsafe places today. So humanity needs rescuing. And most importantly, we need saving from ourselves, from selfishness, from sin. For the Bible says, and I don't have a sheep here in front of me, but all we like sheep have gone astray, each and every one to his own way. And that's often my will, my truth, my life. There's the me, mine, I, and all of us. And so these three quick things as we land this short message. Jesus came to rescue us. Friends, you can't solve your problems on your own. And we're trapped with the expectation of others. We're trapped in living for the approval of even our peers or our spouse or our families or even things that trap us and other things that know that we know aren't good for us. Other addictions, and we try and change over and over again, and we don't have the power we need to escape. And Jesus came to give us that power, but he also came to recover us, to recover parts of our lives that have been lost. So without Christ, without Jesus, we long to recover our strength, our confidence, our reputation, even our innocence and our relationship with God. Friends, only Jesus can do that. And then the final thing this morning is Jesus came to reconcile you and I, reconcile ourselves to God, reconcile ourselves to each other. Sometimes we think that God's going to be austere and stern and mad. But friends, he's going to be glad when you come to him. He's mad about you. You know, he's not mad at you. He loves you enough to have sent his son. And Jesus is testament to that as he came on that first Christmas to reconcile us to God. From the place of being separated or at enmity or strife with God to a place of what? Peace. To a place of harmony. A place of being loved and being able to receive love and give love. Receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. Corrie ten Boom, I think Corrie ticked this quote that came up on social media. She just had said she's a lady who lived through the Holocaust and she was saving Jewish people and was imprisoned for that. But she has a lot of wisdom and she wrote, "The blood of Christ is like tears in the eyes. It washes away specks of dirt." Friends, we all need cleansing. We all need to be reconciled. Like that teardrop, if you can think of that picture, we all need that myrrh, but more importantly, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and reconciles us. Let's not just celebrate his birthday without accepting this greatest gift of all, the free gift of salvation. It goes unwrapped year after year after year. You are made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. So this Christmas, open the most important present you've been given. A personal relationship with the Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Place your trust, place your faith in him and your hope in him. Your hope will not be unfulfilled. There will be a thrill of hope and the weary world will rejoice along with you. That's the invitation, is to come to Jesus. More than anything, come to Jesus. He's waiting. His arms were stretched wide on the cross of Calvary saying, "Come to me. All you weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll take your burden of sin. I'll take that separation between yourself and God. I'll take it that you can be brought into a relationship with me." So, Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, it requires on our part is that we put our faith and trust in you, that we acknowledge that we've sinned and sins come between us, and that we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us, Lord, and come into our heart. I want to recognize not only are you the Savior of the world, that you'd be my Savior and my Lord, my King, and I'd serve you. And I pray that that would be the prayer of all of our hearts this morning. In your precious name, amen. We're going to have the last song. And when we have that, I know this is a normal service for the Gateway Church. So we've got tithes and offerings as part of that service. It's an act of worship in the house of worship. So we're honoring God with that which He's blessed us with and given us. It's all come from Him, from His right hand. He's a good provider. And He says it all comes from Him. So I wasn't so wise after all. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Praise the Lord. The reading is from John chapter 1. I read verses 1 to 8. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Amen.
Verse 9 to 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. Born of God. The Bible says that we need to be born again. And why is that? Because you must be born again. The Bible actually says you must be born again. So that birth, not only a physical birth, but a spiritual birth, to be born of God, because God is spirit, and only He can give life to your spirit, that you'd be a child of God. And oh, what love the Father would lavish on you as children of God, and that is what He says we are when we put our trust in Him.